If you had heard the Apostle Paul preach, do you have an idea what kind of topics he would have dealt with? What he would have been trying to say? Do you have an idea? Does it occur to you to think that the apostle would spend his time discussing community problems, social problems, national affairs, international situations? You think he'd be doing that? You know, you might just remember there were international situations in the days of the Apostle Paul, and there were national affairs in the time of the Roman Empire, and there were social problems in those days of slavery and of distress such as they had in those days and times. All the problems we have now, they had then. But you know, that is not what Paul would have been talking about. And we can get an idea. Now, I don't have to make this up. He says it in so many words. We're reading in the book of Acts in the 20th chapter. And if you will turn in the 20th chapter of the book of Acts, we're going to be reading beginning at verse 20. And we're going to read part of what the apostle said when he was talking to the elders from the church at Ephesus. Now, he had preached in Ephesus for several years. He had been their pastor. And now he is traveling through the country near there, stopping at the town of Miletus, which was some piece from Ephesus, and he sent for the elders to come down. He wanted to talk to them, and when they came, he is here sharing some thoughts with them. Now notice in verse 20, when he is talking about how he had been preaching among them, listen to this, "And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ." Those were his two major themes. And mind you, when he preached those two things, he was keeping back nothing that was profitable unto them. It's all in that. He showed them and taught them publicly and from house to house. This is what he preached when he was in the pulpit. This is what he talked about in his pastoral calls when he visited among the people. Testifying both to the Jews and to the Greeks. When he testified to the Jews, he was talking to people who had some knowledge of the Bible, people that he could use Old Testament scripture with, people who had been brought up on the idea of the reality of God and of seeking the favor of God. When he is talking to Greeks, he's talking to people to whom it is all new, who haven't been trained in these things, who do not have any scriptural background. But he has the one message for them both. There's no difference between Jew and Greek. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance toward God would mean admit my own weakness and my own sin. Just admit that I am a weak sinner. Judge myself as unfit. Get it clear into my mind that I, in myself, will never be able to live successfully or adequately. That if I leave it, it's left up to me, that in me there dwelleth no good thing, is the frame of mind of repentance. Faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ is understanding that Jesus Christ has come to be my Savior, that he has come to take me over to be my Lord, that he will enter into a relationship with me like the vine and the branches. I can be in him, he can be in me. He'll be closer to me than hands or feet. That he will send his Holy Spirit into my heart to live right in me. God will put his thoughts right into my heart, put his laws right into my mind, give me a new heart. All of that will come through Christ Jesus. Faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept him as Savior and Lord. When Paul was preaching this, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ, what was he trying to accomplish? What was he trying to do? He was trying to reconcile men to God, trying to bring men into fellowship with God and effect what the Bible calls the atonement, bringing man and God together as one. Now, someone might say, well, didn't he have any pay any attention at all? Wasn't he concerned about the problem of living? Why, this solves the problem of living. This takes care of all the problems of living. Would this produce character? I should say it would, and it does, and it has, and it will. You get a man right with God, and get a man with God in his soul. You don't have to worry about his character. His character will be the character that will come out from the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, but shouldn't you have something to say about the man's service he renders in the community? Now, believe me, when any man has God working in him to will and to do of his good pleasure, you'll have a man living in the community in such a way he'll make you a good citizen. You don't have to worry about that man. Someone else might say, well, don't you think you ought to have something to say about what's going on in the community? How much of it is in your hands? How much of what goes on in the community have you got anything to do with? I'll tell you how much. Just as much as you're doing. That's how much you've got to do with. Well, now, so far as you're doing it is concerned, what is the real issue? Isn't it the choice you make? Isn't it the thing that you prefer? Now, if you had the Spirit of God within you, and you were yielded to the will of the Lord Jesus Christ, you would in every and any given situation do the good thing, which is all anybody could ever expect of you under any circumstances. Oh, make no mistake about it. People who get right with God and have God in their hearts are the best neighbors, they are the best parents, that's the best husband and the best wife and the best father and the best mother, the best citizen, the best teacher, the best mechanic, the best banker, the best lawyer, the best man, the best woman you'll ever find is a man or woman who has in him the Spirit of God. Wouldn't you think so? Well, that's exactly what follows when the gospel is preached. Now, Paul had said this to these people and reminded them that when he was there among them, that's the kind of thing that he preached. And then he goes on to say that he must go to Jerusalem, even though he knows that when he goes there, he will encounter violence. We read that in verses 22 and 23, and it's worth looking at because you and I may sometime be moved from within ourselves to do something we know is going to result in some uncomfortable and unpleasant and sometimes actually troublesome times, but we still must do it. Listen to this. Verse 22, "And now, behold, I go, bound in the Spirit, unto Jerusalem." Now, bound in the Spirit means that he was compelled in his own spirit, just as if he was handcuffed to the idea. He just had to go. "Bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things which shall befall me there." Actually not knowing what to expect, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. How would the Holy Spirit say this in every city? At the prayer meetings. Because when Paul went from city to city, he gathered the Christians together. When the Christians gathered together, they prayed. They would discuss what they were going to do and pray what they were going to do and pray about it to seek the mind of the Lord and to seek the blessing of the Lord. And every such prayer meeting that Paul went into, the people that were there got the feeling in their own hearts that Paul was going to have trouble in Jerusalem. And so he says he knows that that's the case, but he's going to go. Now look at verse 24. "But none of these things move me." That is, I'm not going to stop for that reason. "Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." He was thinking that his trip to Jerusalem was going to be to the glory of God. That his trip to Jerusalem was actually going to enable him to testify about this gospel. He wanted to tell people what the grace of God had done all over the world where he had been. And he was going right back to the city of Jerusalem, right back to the big mother church that was there, and tell those people what God had done through him among the Gentiles all over the world. And he thought that would be to the glory of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And since it was to the glory of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, he would go, and if he had trouble, he'd have trouble. And if he'd get hurt, he'd get hurt. None of these things moved him, and he didn't count his life dear unto himself. He wanted to finish his course with joy, and this ministry which he had received of the Lord Jesus, he wanted to testify to the gospel of the grace of God, because that's what he had been preaching. And now look at verse 25. "And now, behold, I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more." He has a premonition that he will never come back to see these people. He's traveling through this part of the country for the last time. "Among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God." Here's that phrase again. In the course of our study, we're coming across certain phrases over and over and over again. One of them is the word of the Lord. Another is the grace of God. And now here is the kingdom of God. These are ideas you need to get into your mind. You see, the kingdom of God is that relationship that you have with God in which He rules in your heart. That's the Christian experience. When God is in charge and is ruling in your own soul, when it isn't your decision about anything, but in prayer you find out what the will of God would be, and then you do God's will and let God take everything, all the responsibility, all the praise, all the glory, all the blame for what happens. Just do it God's way. Now verses 26 and 27. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. That is to say, when he is making this expression, saying this thing, I am pure from the blood of all men, you're reminded of the way in which Ezekiel put it. When God told Ezekiel that Ezekiel was made a watchman over the house of Israel, and Ezekiel was to tell them the truth. If he told them the truth and a man didn't change his ways, it was the man's fault. But if Ezekiel did not tell them the truth and the man didn't change his way, the man would be lost, but Ezekiel would be to blame. And this is why the way Paul feels about it. He had the gospel, and he felt it was his responsibility to see to it that it was preached. And so he had not shunned, he hadn't hesitated, to declare unto these people all the counsel of God. All the counsel of God is the whole truth of this great revelation of the salvation that is in Jesus Christ. The whole truth of the matter is that God will save to the uttermost those who come unto God by the Lord Jesus Christ. God's holiness demands a perfect performance. He knew this to be true, and he had preached it to the people, that God wanted people to come to him, entirely to him, altogether to him, and that if they didn't come to him, he would not be able to help them, that sort of thing. And Paul had gotten up and preached this to the people as long as he had been with them. Our God and Heavenly Father, help us to appreciate the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and to be faithful unto thee as we believe it and share it with others. For thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.